Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Implicitly Awkward. I am one of your hosts, Alexia.
I'm your other co-host, Marcus.
And today we have a super special guest on. His name is Lou Jean. And we're going to be talking about some topics that are human trafficking, sex trafficking, labor trafficking, and speak about the cobalt industry as well as the cacao industry. So please stay tuned. Everything is interconnected and we're gonna really go on a global perspective here. So stay tuned.
All these things are really important. All these things are connected. They're affected by my day today and your day today.
Absolutely. So
if y'all are ready, let's dive in.
This is
Implicitly
Awkward.
Cue the music.
We're really honored to have Lou Jean on today's episode. Lou Jean and I actually met down in New Orleans through an ex-partner of mine, and Lou Jean and I just hit it off because we were both into human rights, and yeah, so we just kept in touch and everything. So we're just really, really happy to have him on today. And we're going to be talking about some things along the lines with human trafficking, sex trafficking, also talking about slave labor and child labor. So, Lou Jean.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing?
Yes. So right now, I'm a private contractor for the Louisiana Child and Youth Trafficking Collaborative. It's a new pilot program put together under the Children's Cabinet with the Governor's Office in partnership with the Louisiana Alliance of Children Advocacy Centers. Its main mission is to spread awareness and to combat human trafficking within Louisiana.
Very cool. So how did you get involved in this type of work?
Ooh, I've been on the front line against human trafficking for quite some time. Before this job, I was working as a senior human trafficking case manager at Covenant House. Mm-hmm. I led the human trafficking team there, and we did. It was pretty intense work. We would do intakes. We would offer food, shelter, lodging, mental health support. And essentially, we would help them get permanent housing within mm-hmm. Louisiana. You know, but we would get referrals from anybody who called the hotline, law enforcement, other social workers. We would go out to meet them, and we would also like transport them to like safe houses and relocate them to safe houses.
Definitely, 100%. That's
I was there for like 2 years, and before that, I was living in Africa. And I was doing human trafficking work over there. I got my first start in Eswatini. Mm-hmm. And I was living there. They had a conflict, and the Swazi boys and the Swazi girls. The Swazi girls were doing sex trafficking, and the Swazi boys were doing more agrarian, forced labor mm-hmm. trafficking. And I worked around bringing awareness to that. And from there, as I had the privilege to live in other countries within Africa, I remained focused on the mission at hand, which was combating modern-day slavery, which was human trafficking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So right That's now, like, the global... Oh. Huh? I'm sorry, what were you about to say?
No, you finish, my bad.
Oh, no, I was just about to say that, like, right now, the Global Slavery Index estimates is, like, roughly 40 to 41 million people who were caught in modern-day slavery, 71 to 75% of those being female, and 1 in 4 of those being children. So it's a very prominent, prevalent thing that's going on today.
Yeah. And that was honestly going to be my question, like, knowing that it is like such a prominent thing, right? And like it's so widespread, and there's so many things like connected to it. Why isn't this something that people are usually talking about when it comes to like crises, when it comes to like the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is an issue that has to be forced into the conversation, just the same way that we force like social and racial equality in conversations through protests, you know, and through mm-hmm. social movements. A lot of people don't want to talk about it because of capitalism, we benefit off it, you know. Everything from what we wear to the gadgets we use has some way, in some shape or form, came from slavery.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have to get into that a little later.
Yeah, no, we can dive into it because we had a conversation off air about the cobalt industry and also the cacao industry. And at first, like I've heard, you know, little bits and pieces, but until you and I had a conversation about it, you know, my mind was really blown and just like diving into some of the research about it. It's just very interesting that this isn't so widely known, because also within our Instagram we have posed the question about, oh, do you guys know about like the cobalt industry and its connections to slave labor, and the majority said no.
What?
Yeah, yeah, the majority said no, that they had no idea about it.
And honestly, like before we had that conversation, I had no idea either, but then like you said, I did some research, and lo and behold, like immediately,
it was everywhere, right? It was everywhere, all over
the internet. Yeah, there's so many articles about like all these companies that are connected to like the cobalt industry, like families being like mistreated, like all type, and it's like big name companies. We're talking like Microsoft, Apple, Google. Tesla, Google. Yeah. Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So like, but yes. You know, as important as like we're in, like, I feel like we're definitely like in a shift, right? As like as a nation, maybe it's like a generational thing, but it seems like at least now that like information is so like accessible, like mm-hmm. we just know like when things are going awry, right? Like we find out when things are like going bad, or like, you know, like people are getting canceled left and right. So like we're doing our digging, right? We're learning things about people, we're learning things about companies. But like I hadn't heard about this until like that conversation, and knowing that, like, for example, I have a Google phone, I have an Apple laptop, okay, two things that I use every single day, I rely on them every day, but like knowing that like they only got to me because somebody somewhere was mistreated, most likely like working long hours for little pay.
I think it's in the article I read, it was 75 cents a day.
A day. That's nuts.
Yeah,
that's change.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure those are very liberal numbers, you know. And mm-hmm. so more than 60% of the world, so cobalt is like the modern day like cotton, it's like the cotton of the 21st century, right? More than 60% of the world's supply of cobalt is mined in a copper belt of the southeastern provinces of the Democratic Republic of Congo, the same area where the slave trade started, you know, mm-hmm. from the Great Lakes region of Africa to West Africa, right? And so cobalt is a very precious and valuable mineral. It's pretty much found in every lithium ion rechargeable battery on the planet. Anything electrical that you plug into a wall that needs to recharge, cobalt mm-hmm. is a mineral, it's a conductor, it's a mineral that kind of is responsible for that, you know? And it's also using like jet engine, gas turbines, magnetic steel. It's kind of like an omnipresent like mineral, you know. But corporations, in order to extract that, it's very rudimentary way to pretty much get children, you know, and it's extracted by hands with very like rudimentary hand tools. You know, it's not that sophisticated of like a mineral to be extracted, you know. And corporations like we mentioned earlier, Google, Microsoft, Tesla, they all have their hands in extracting this cobalt. There's no accountability process. There's no fact checking. They just lease it to a subcontractor. They demand a quota. That subcontractor goes and pretty much kidnaps, forces, oppresses these indigenous people to mine this mineral. And then they give their quota. They get to the CEOs of some Chinese corporation that pretty much manufactures for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like with these practices, I want to bring it back as to why maybe in the United States, or at least like in the media, just why we're not seeing these things is because it is heavily tied to consumerism and capitalism. Like, we have to be faced with our own selves and our own accessibility to things, such as like having a phone and all these different luxuries that we do have, and really think about, how am I accountable for child labor? How am I tied mm-hmm. to this? And a lot of it, I think, with the companies too, what I was reading, it's like, well, we had no idea you know, because it's so like far down the line, but they do have an idea of what they're doing.
Yeah, they were brought, Apple and Google were named in a U.S. lawsuit over Congolese mm-hmm. child COBOL deaths like last year, like 2019. Mm-hmm. You know, it was filed by international rights advocates on behalf of like 14 different families. You know, this is a thing that they know about, they've been knowing about for like years. They mm-hmm. just don't want to talk about, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's some of the reasons as to why, just because of the influence within this country and how much we use products, like why the media does not heighten these types of conversations, why people had no idea that the cobalt industry is tied to child labor practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's very insidious.
Mm-hmm.
Super insidious. So like, so the human trafficking is defined as a recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, a receipt of persons by improper means, such as like force, abduction, fraud, or coercion for like an improper purpose, right? And there's like six different forms of human trafficking. Mm-hmm. The most popular known is like sex trafficking, in which women and men are forced into commercial sex industry against their will by force, fraud, or coercion, you know? If you're under 18 years old and you're doing like sex work in Louisiana, you're considered a victim of human trafficking because you cannot consent to sex work under 18, you know. Another form of human trafficking that's very popular that we know about is like forced labor. It's mm-hmm. pretty much you're forced to work under the threat of violence with no pay, and they're pretty much exploited as product for commercial sale, you know. The four, and another one is child labor, we were just talking about, which is any enslavement of a child, mm-hmm. which is like forced labor, domestic servitude, or sex trafficking. That's considered child labor. The other three are they're not that long, much known. So like forced marriage is when mm-hmm. women and children are forced to marry another without their consent or against their will. That's really huge in Southeast Asia, you know. Bonded labor is when individuals that are compelled to work in order to repay a debt are unable to leave until the debt is repaid. You know, that's another mm-hmm. like form of trafficking. And the last one is like domestic servitude, which happens a lot to people from Latin America, which is employees working in private homes are forced or coerced into serving a family like mm-hmm. by fraudulent means. You know, so they might want papers. You know, they might want mm-hmm. they might want like a visa. They might want papers, so they'll live with this family, and the family might promise them. They get them like temporary visa or permanent residence, and they'll just never get that while they're working as like a domestic worker.
Mm-hmm. Is there in your work, is there any type of the human trafficking types that you talked about? Is there any type that you've come across the most in terms of New Orleans or Louisiana?
Child sex trafficking. In New Orleans, because just the climate of the city, mm-hmm. Louisiana has a very dark history with like sex work. So like Storyville, Louisiana it's kind of known for being like very it's the first place where white and black people in America can be together legally, and because mm-hmm. of that sex, it became like an area known for sex work, you know, and sex work of minors, you know. And to this day, every time there's a festival, Louisiana has a festival like every other month or every 2 months, right? And mm-hmm. pimps will bring girls down here to satisfy the client or meet a demand and then ship the girl somewhere else, you know? So sex work is like the big one down here. And that's along like what I call the I-10 corridor, which is like New Orleans, Miami, Atlanta, Tennessee, and Houston. It's routine that these girls will be trafficked along these areas, you know? So when I was working for Covenant House, and I don't want to backtrack. So it's not only women who are like, or girls who are victims of sex trafficking. Sex trafficking does happen to men and non-binary identifying right. people, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I was working at Covenant House, I would routinely get clients from Houston, you know, from different parts of the South who were just in New Orleans visiting. And they pretty much found out about Covenant House and how pretty much Covenant House provides free services with no identification needed, you know. So they would come in, you know, and I would like do their intake. And they would tell me where they were from, and it would always be like in Houston or Tennessee or Miami or Atlanta or California or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't Covenant House, I believe that there's one in LA as well.
Yeah, there's like 32 different Covenant Houses, I feel. There's one in Los Angeles, there's one in Texas. They're in a lot of states. There's even a couple in Central America and one in Canada.
Okay.
So I have one question for you, like knowing that you had like a lot of different clients from a bunch of different areas of the country, like especially when it comes to like sex trafficking, you know, how do people get started in these things, you know, like knowing that like some of these people are really young too. So
yeah. So a lot of the times they fall in gaps within the services. They're preyed upon. A lot of them, at least this is from my experience, right, working domestically in America, a lot of them come from foster care systems. You know, when you turn in Louisiana, when you turn 18 years old, that's, they literally drop you off at Covenant House's doorstep, you know. Or a lot of them come from, they're homeless. They come from rural areas and there's not that much like economic opportunity. So like if you live in like Ascension Parish or Opelousas, Louisiana, outside of working at a power plant, there's not that many job opportunities you have, you know?
Right.
And the education system is already like one of the worst in the country, you know? So if you come from, and pimps like target that, you know, there's a whole like mass, there's a whole article written by a pimp talking about why you need to understand the Maslow hierarchy of needs and seeing where the person that you're targeting at, where they're at on that need structure. I mean, on that pyramid structure, you know, because they like to target people who don't have any strong family support, you know. So that might be lack of family support. Mental illness is another one. Addiction to drugs, you know. Or they might be a victim of just like sexual assault within their family. Nobody believed them, so they ran away, and then they're looking for another home, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you in terms of like grooming and like a grooming process. Like, right. I could see something like that where, you know, you're experiencing abuse within your household and then, you know, there is a predator within the neighborhood that does, like, you know, notice this and, like, may approach a young child, you know, gain that trust. But these are all my, like, hypotheses of how this would go.
Notice. So, like, they have pimps or just, like, traffickers, period, who go like to Armstrong Park is a popular park, or the Greyhound bus station. They'll look for people who might need some food and offer them food. You know, then they'll say like, hey, what are you doing? Like, where are you going? It's real, it's not safe for you. I have a spot you can stay, you know? And that's how the grooming process starts, you know? Cause like once that person provides food for them, the young person is thinking, oh, if this person gives me food, I can trust him. Or he cares about me, you know. I never had nobody care about me before, you know. This person really likes me, and that's where the whole like coercion and a psychological bond like begins, you know. The whole grooming process, you know. So before you know it, they're living with the person, and then like after 2 weeks, it's kind of like, oh, you need to get some money, you know. Let me help you find a job, or you can't work, you don't have a high school diploma, so let me put you in a hotel and have you do sex work. You know, and the whole time, a lot of these girls and guys are thinking that, like, this person's my boyfriend, this person loves me, this person cares for me, when they're just being used, you know. And even when a relationship turns physical, that bond is like a trauma bond, you know, it becomes stronger, you know. So coercion is one of the strongest and most deadliest tactics people use to control another person, you know.
Yeah, and that coercion can be through emotional, mental, and then also monetary. Yeah. All of those different aspects.
Yeah.
So insidious, just like you said. Like, I feel like insidious really is the way to describe it, because it's like you really think that person would like actually cares about you, right? And now, and I guess they blink, and all of a sudden they're in a completely different situation, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I kind of want to talk about sex work. So we're speaking about sex trafficking. Obviously, that's to somebody like holding somebody against their will, or they don't have like full ability to know what is happening to them. And then we do have sex workers, right? And then the whole policy and stuff like that, and push around sex workers' rights.
Yes. So sex work and human trafficking, they are often brought up. I can't make like a professional opinion on this because of my job, but personally, I do believe that, like, you know, sex work, your body, your choice. If you're over 18, you can do whatever you want, you know? And it's like, there's no difference between you working at a power plant that can give you cancer than you doing something else with your body. You know, it's actually more harmful for you to work at a power plant than for you to do sex work. And not all sex work is full service, you know? Mm-hmm. Only like a very small, like, percentage of sex work is full service, you know. Like, the thing that's popular real now is like the cam stuff, the go cams.
Oh, like the only for your fans. I was like for your fans.
So that's like a very popular. It still works, classified as sex work, but the people aren't even in the same state some of the times. You know, so yeah, that's. I think it just should be decriminalized. You know.
Yeah, and I think it's like a necessary conversation and to like have a union and rights around it to like make sure things like sex trafficking doesn't happen and that there are like ramifications and there are like guidelines and things that hold people accountable and also protect people as well.
Yeah. But that's my personal opinion. It doesn't reflect any of the organizations I work for or that I will work for in the future. You know, I don't want
nice cleanup.
Yeah, I don't want my director like the governor to like anybody else to hear this and be like, "What? Who just said that?"
No, but
I grew up in Abigail Projects. I saw it all the time. Like I went to high school with girls who did sex work, who were dancers, you know, and like growing up in New Orleans in the '90s, that was like the thing they did. That was hustling to them, you know. And they kind of set the boundaries. They kind of said what they will and wouldn't do, you know. And it was always like, I'm going to give you my consent to do this, you know.
Right.
Instead of having this forced upon me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like even to that point, right, this is something like sex work has been around forever, okay? So it's like, it's never not been a thing. Right, it's not going anywhere.
Utopia we create, it's still going to be there.
Exactly. You know? So I definitely agree with you, Lex, when you say that there should be some type of union or some type of like guidelines around it, because it's not like it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. And especially if like this is some ways that some people are getting paid, right? This is a way that like people are just making money. And so if this is the way that they're going to make money using their body to do whatever they like, why is there such a taboo around people using their body the way that they want to, right? And like, you know, sex work, sex trafficking, while they may be like connected, they're definitely not the same thing, right? You know, like we're talking
two different things.
Specifically, like the people who like are doing this because they chose to do this, right? Like, shout out to all the people who have OnlyFans accounts out there. You know what? Get your money. You know what I'm saying? Because people will pay. Absolutely. So I feel like that's, I don't know. At least for me though, I just feel like that's part of the taboo. Like I feel like people want to immediately connect sex trafficking to sex work.
Yeah, and I think that's like an important distinction that is made and that we make as well of like the choice, one having the ability to make a choice for themselves and then the not ability to make a choice for oneself and being pushed into a life.
And this is something that Human Rights Watch came forward and said this should be decriminalized. You know, if you're over 18 and you want to do sex work, you should be able to do it, you know? And even like this, it's so open, so massage therapy is considered sex work, you know?
Yeah, but
like,
then,
not all sex work is full service, you know?
No, it's not full service, but then you have to think about like within, I don't know if you're referencing like massage parlors too, because their connection to like human trafficking, and then, you know, then sex work can be done in terms of like happy endings and such, so there can be like some sex trafficking, and then also there also are other people that are like, okay, no, like
I was talking about like the Planet Fitness massage people, you know, how you go and get like one of those.
I'm taking another direction.
How the field of sex work is kind of like everybody automatically thinks 100% full service when it's not the case a lot of times, you know, and these OnlyFans. This new phenomenon is showing people that like you can do sex work, it can be safe, and there can be consent behind it, you know.
Yeah, and you know, thinking about like media too with OnlyFans, like how things can only just like grow in terms of sex work and like different inventions that are coming out and things like OnlyFans. I myself have not like browse the website or have any idea of like how that works, but I did see like one of my friends, she was hyping up some of her like girls that do have OnlyFans and were like, yo, like go check her out, blah blah blah, this is like her link to her OnlyFans. And I think it's like it's an interesting transition period that we're in terms of like technology and our bodies like said, and stuff.
This is always going to be there. No matter what pandemic comes, people are always going to find a way to satisfy, to fill that market, you know? So let women do what they want.
Exactly. Honestly, let people do what they want. And like, all right. Who are you to disagree with Beyonce? Like, I don't know if y'all heard the Savage remix, but she said hits TikTok when I dance on that Demon Time. She might start an OnlyFans. So if Beyonce coincides it, who are you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, if you're over 18 and you want to do it, you know, just, you know, make sure you know what you're doing. Make sure it's healthy. Make sure it's safe, you know. Same thing with any job, though. Same thing if you're going to work at a power plant. Same thing if you're going to be an electrician. You know, make sure you're taking care of yourself and make sure you're safe, and you know, have a plan. You know,
100%. I kind of have like a interesting question for both of you. Have any of you ever felt or like known that you were possibly in a situation where someone may have been trying to like either sex traffic you or human traffic you?
I think when I was younger, that was kind of like that used to happen all the time. You know, there was always like little schemes and scams that happened to us when we were living in the projects. You know, but now that I'm older and I'm wiser, you know, it's very hard to do that type of stuff. You know, because we're both black men, so it's kind of a fight to get us. You know, we're not considered vulnerable, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. If anything, the exact opposite, we're considered a threat, you know?
Not to my memory, but then, you know, also depression and trauma will have you like forgetting years of your life. So not to my memory. So I don't think so, thankfully. Because again, I know that's not everybody's situation, you know? Like I trigger warning, but like, I just remember, like, a lot of the times, like, in high school, like, I would just get into, like, real deep conversations with some of my friends, and then have my friends tell me that, like they lost their virginity at, like, 10, 11 to, like, people who were older than them, sometimes to, like, people in their family. And I'm just like, in my, you know, high school me is like, oh, shit, like, you know, like, adult me is like, oh, my God, they were assaulted, and they didn't have an outlet to talk about it. And like it happens, you know, so it's not my situation, but
it's quite frequent in terms of like being assaulted or sexual assault, like molestation, all of that. I think that's like a conversation people don't like to have or want to have, but it's definitely something that like happens a lot more frequently. And in terms of like my own experience in terms of like human trafficking or sex trafficking, I do believe like there has been a few instances that like if I had went through with something, like for example, you know, I was trying to look for a second job. I'm getting my master's, things like that. And I was looking through Craigslist for different kinds of like positions, things like that. And I stumbled upon this like, it's like a karaoke type situation in Koreatown. And like, I was like, maybe this is a possibility. Like you make hella money. I was reading articles online, things like that. But the deeper and deeper that I like dove with it and just like getting messages and stuff, I was like, nah, like this is definitely something serious. And like, this is just like one experience, right? And I'm like old enough and have an understanding to understand like, okay, this is not a good situation. No matter how much I need money, like this could go to a place that like, I obviously don't want to be in. Right. But I just think about that in terms of like people's experiences and like throughout their life, especially being younger and being a female and like the times that like maybe I could have made a decision and been in a horrible situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you definitely like have What's the word? Not temperance. Discernment. You know what I'm saying? Because, like as you've grown older, right? But, you know, not everybody has that, you know? Definitely given like, your situation, the situations that somebody else could be in, right? Like, they could be desperate and say, like, you know what?
Yeah,
you know,
super desperate.
Yeah, and they have
yeah.
to.
Right.
Like, you know, like, okay, this is easy money for me. Right. Let me, I have to do this thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're undocumented, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're undocumented, you know? And it happens a lot to people who are undocumented, you know? We had a very famous case down here in Louisiana. I think it's one of the largest, if not the largest, case of labor trafficking in American history. It's with Signal International. Signal mm. International is a marine construction company based in Mobile, Alabama. And right after, pretty much right after the disaster hit down here, they pretty much got 500 workers from Kerala, India, and brought them to the Gulf Coast to help them with the recovery, with the promise if they complete the program, they'll get like permanent U.S. residency and they'll have a stable job. You know, these people had to pay $10,000 to $20,000 to Signal International to come over here in return for residency and documentation. You know, once they got here, they were required to pay an extra $1,000 a month mm-hmm. for like this 1,800 square foot living situation they were in that was like deplorable. You know. People found out about it. It became a huge case, and they were found guilty of labor trafficking, fraud, racketeering, and discrimination. And they had to pay like $14 million back to the people, you know. But mm-hmm. but the main reason those people from India came over here was for like they wanted a residency. You know, they wanted that. You know, they wanted that U.S. citizenship. You yeah. know, and Signal International like took advantage of them. You know, and that's happening a lot. Happens. That's very prevalent down here in the seafood industry. You know, mm-hmm. that's very prevalent in the avocado industry and like it's very even like the stuff we put in our salads, you know. I've heard stories about like people who pick that stuff, you know, and they're thinking they're working for a corporation, and if they work for the corporation 6 months, then they get like permanent US residency, you know, that's not the case, you know. It's not the case at all.
That's heavy.
Well, that seems to be like a, you know, common thing where in terms of people coming over. I was doing some research and there was this story of this man who was in the Philippines and this woman had like found him through some like mutual friends or something like that and like promised him, okay, we're going to bring you here like on this visa, all these different things. He comes, but then she says to him like, you're indebted to me now. And like, you have to work these amount of hours, which is like 7 days a week in order to like pay back your debt. And then also for me to like get you full citizenship. So I think it's like an important conversation and thing to know when we're talking about documentation and citizenship within this country and people who are immigrants and coming over and also highlighting like labor trafficking as well as part of that narrative. Cause I think that I'm going to speak for myself, but like, in my opinion, I feel like that is also like not brought into the conversation that often. But that's just in my own experience.
Why does it always feel like America is viewed as like this land of opportunity? I mean, in which it is, but like at the same time, it feels like it's a land of opportunity because like to the disadvantage of somebody else, every single time. And I just hate to like, I feel like none of these are like isolated cases, you know, like this happens all the time. So it's like, where's the accountability, you know, like, why do we allow these things to happen? Like like something's got to give at some point, right? You know, like if people know about it, like why don't people know about it? You know, there's just so much that's like running through my mind right now. Like, mm-hmm. like stuff like this is like really heartbreaking for me, but it's like, it's not like it's rare. Like this happens all the time. So maybe I guess like the question is like, how do we make more people like aware of this type of stuff? Like what can the average citizen do? You know?
I think this is a good start, you know, talking about it amongst your peers on any platform that you're going to disseminate to people that's easily accessible to them. You know, podcast is kind of like the leading, it's like the leading form of information and information spreading these days, you know, it's more mm-hmm. reliable than the mainstream news, you know, and you get independent, it's like independent journalism at its finest, you know, you're getting like you're getting like the uncut raw truth, you know, from people who are concerned about it, you know, not from like this multi-billion-dollar news media, you know, with an agenda they're pushing to support a party, whether it's the left side or the right side, you know. So I think doing stuff like this, you know, is actually like, is the best thing, you know, talking about it more. Talking about human trafficking in the world, talking about like sex work more, talking about these different issues more, you know, because when we normalize it, and by talking about it, then it becomes more prevalent in people's imagination, it becomes more prevalent in our society, you know, that we need to do something about it, you know. Nobody would have like, and this goes back to like the social justice issues, nobody would have cared about like any of the people who were killed by cops unless mm-hmm. people like started talking about it, you know. Once we started having these conversations about it and that were emotional, then we like, oh, we got to protest, you know? And so this kind of like the stages of change that we're seeing right now, you know?
Absolutely. And I feel like highlighting the interconnectedness of different issues and movements, I think is really important. And exactly like, yeah. Doing stuff like this, talking about it, having a platform to speak about these things, have conversations and get it into people's minds is like definitely the starting point. And it's difficult too. Like it's difficult to sit and to really like hear about and think about in terms of like our own experiences and how we can be a part of these different issues and how we like move these things forward or how we decide to not move these things forward.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, kind of circling back, sort of, like, to, like, labor trafficking, right? Because I feel like the first thing that comes to my mind, like, especially when it comes to, like, consumerism, when we're talking about, like, the way, like, all of our tech is can be connected to, like, labor trafficking and such. It reminded me of, like, that, like, the Blood Diamond movies. It's, like, the same thing. It's, like, the people who are like getting these elements are not reaping the benefits of it, you know. It's for somebody else to feel shiny, you know.
Yeah Absolutely. I always thought too, like, you know, Africa as a nation just has so many valuable resources, and you know, it's just like incredible to me, like, you know, the United States and other countries like reaping the benefit of these like resources that are so valuable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, especially with cocoa in Africa and like minerals. But even here, you know, the commercial farming sector in the United States is increasingly impacted by migrant workers and trafficking. You know, we not out there in the fields picking this stuff. We never out there in the fields picking up the solely blueberries and strawberries and stuff like that. Those are people who are coming into the country who are doing that. You know, they're not getting paid an honorable or living wage, you know. Yeah. And that's like the whole farming sector. You know, like that's like when you go to like the produce section of a grocery store, all that stuff is covered in blood, you know. Going back to your point, Mark, in Africa, like I guess one of the biggest ones, I guess the cocoa in West Africa, you know. In the Ivory Coast, this is something that like Hershey and like Nestle have been like pretty much convicted of, you know, how they're pretty much driving the cocoa slave trade, you know, in Africa, you know, and it's like one of the worst forms of child labor, you know, it is.
Yeah, I was like reading a little bit about it and just some of like the promises. They're like, oh, we're gonna try to reduce our dependency like upon child labor by 2025. Like just even the wording upon that, and like also doing research and seeing that like there's really been no major shift in terms of dependency upon child labor. Yeah. With these companies.
It's atrocious. It's atrocious. In Ivory Coast, they're like literally kidnapping kids, selling them to these farms, and these kids will work on these farms, and then like for like less than $2 a day, and then will go back to their parents and try to bring and bring some of the money back to their parents. You know, it's atrocious. And we're talking about waking up at like 6 a.m, you know, doing this type of stuff. And something like Ghana, the Ivory, all of West Africa, they don't attend school, so like this is like impacting their mental state. And it's impacting their like educational opportunities, you know. And like there's like little to no progress being made to talk about this, you know, because the governments don't want to enforce it because these corporations are bigger than the government in a lot of respects, you know.
Yeah.
It makes me think about like infrastructure or lack thereof, and like the widely spread effects of colonialism across nations throughout history. Like, it's so hard to say something like just get over it, like racism doesn't exist, or you know, that was so many years ago, because like these are lingering effects, you know, like
when, yeah,
it's like absolutely, like there's like if something like that was happening here in the States to children that had a different colored skin tone, there would be
the majority,
uproar.
It would be uproar, you know.
So I guess again, like, where's the All Lives Matter crowd when it comes to like these types of things, right? Because are these not lives? You know, like these are kids. These are kids that could have been they could be playing club baseball. You know what I'm saying? Like something real simple, something that's like that's real common here, you know. But that's because of where they're born. That's just not the situation that they were born into. So it's like, so I don't know. I think I'm gonna keep asking what gives. Like, not to say like I'm looking for an answer from y'all, but just like, yo, what gives, man? Like, are y'all kidding me? Like the way that people will turn up in Orange County and throw
Huntington
a whole,
Beach
a whole protest saying that we don't want to wear masks. You know what I'm saying? I want a haircut. Yeah. Like, I want a haircut too. You know, but like it's so much bigger than me, right? Like there are bigger issues like at hand, right? There are bigger fish to fry. You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know, yo, what gives?
Yeah, I think a way to combat this is to bring the darkness to light. I think a lot of these corporations try to distance themselves from the product that they extract from the earth, you know, when if you tie this directly to them, then they would be forced to make, you know, like a statement or forced to change their policies. And we've seen this with Nike, with the sweatshops when they got exposed back in the 90s. And any of the corporations now, you know, when people come forward and bring the darkness to light and say, hey, this is slavery, you're participating in slavery, then they're forced to make like an impact, because these are all like companies who have investors, you know, people who are like me and you, you know, who invest in a corporation through stocks or whatever, you know. So I think if people are made more aware of how bad it is, you know, then they'll have to do something about it. Like, one of the reasons why George Floyd's death like caused so much outcry over the hundreds of other deaths, you know, is because we actually watched him die in 8 minutes and 46 seconds. You know, we actually looked into his eyes and followed him down death, you know. And when you like look at something and when you see it, you can't remove it from your imagination, you know. So if people will actually go to like Ghana or Kivu or these different spots in Africa where like slavery is really happening and like how these corporations are benefiting from it, you know, and they would actually see this, you know, then there would be more of an outcry, you know. But until someone is brave enough or people are brave enough to actually go there and do some like proper investigation and proper journalism, then I guess it's going to continue to be in the darkness and outside of like circles like this, you know.
True indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, you know, it, bringing up Black Lives Matter movement and like understanding too, like on a global level and how these different issues are interconnected. You know, I think that that's super important, because sometimes, right, we go just like nationally and like what's happening here, but it's also important to think, okay, what's happening on a global level and like with these different movements, and how is this interconnected, and how am I, you know, being aware or having responsibility within these different movements as well. So that's something for like my listeners, for our listeners, that, you know, to really think about.
Yeah.
And to like start thinking in these different levels and how things are interconnected, and like what are we doing on our day to days to perpetuate or to actually like help these different causes.
Yeah, that's one of the key components of being a responsible citizen. You know, mm-hmm. nobody is challenging you to be like Malcolm X or Marcus Garvey or John Brown for that matter. But to be a responsible citizen is kind of like have actions to perpetuate like things moving in the right direction, whether it's conversations or whether it's just like honestly not purchasing something, you know, mm-hmm. like after I read about like the cocoa, like slave trade in West Africa, I was like staring very clear of like Nestle and Mars and Hershey and stuff like that. You know, I can't pretty much take down a multi-billion-dollar corporation, but at least I can do is like not participate in their growth anymore, you know,
yeah.
and tell some of my friends about it. You know, when I have spoken to like my friends about it, they're like, what? You know, and they just, and they looked it up and it came true, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something that I think we all should be doing, like be more responsible, like citizens, you know? We have mm-hmm. to be good ancestors. We have to make this world a better place for those who come after us. That's like our responsibility, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And we can't do that and look the other way and be silent about things like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I really love that. How are we going to be responsible ancestors? I think that's like, that is such an important line to like keep in my head. And I hope other people as well keep that in their head when they're deciding to, you know, participate in different things, whether it's what you purchase or, you know, what you're doing on your day-to-day life.
Yeah. And honestly, that's another way to protest, you know, like
yeah.
all of this is protest if you really think about it, because like, if there's a social issue at hand, this is you saying that I'm not going to stand for this, you know? And it's just as important as like marching. It's just as important as having conversations with people. We have to hit people where it hurts, and it hurts most in their pockets. So exactly. if we really want to see change, like this is one of, I mean, it's not the only, but it's definitely one of the ways that we have to do it. Because like, especially like these are like huge corporations, right? They'll only care if they start to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's the only way they'll be pressured to do any type of change, if there's like mass, and people, we do have the power. If we come behind mm-hmm. something and we like cancel something, and they're going to make adjustments, you know. And we've seen it with like corporations like Starbucks. There was a like an article that came out where an employee couldn't wear a Black Lives Matter shirt, and they put it out, and like literally the day after, the next day rescinded everything. You know, so I think that we do have like a lot of, you know, moral power, you know, but we should leverage that and weaponize that intelligently for the betterment of the future generations, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to, just while we're wrapping up here, I just want to plug, at least for California, just some resources in terms of human trafficking and sex trafficking. There's a non-for-profit called CAST LA, the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. So they have some trainings that you can participate in if you go to their website, which is castla.org. There's also a hotline number if you think someone is being trafficked. You can call 888 key to free, which is 888-539-2373. You can also go again to castla.org and you can report a tip. There's also one other resource. It's latrafficking.com/resources. So I just wanted to leave that there for our California listeners.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lou Jean, thank you so much for coming today or just talking.
Anytime. Really, it was an honor. Thank y'all for having me on it. I really like respect and admire the work that y'all do, and I'm glad that y'all like having these tough conversations and able to like push forward. I know like a lot of these conversations we have, we could be in like endangering our job, especially these days, you know. So I commend y'all for being brave enough, you know, and for having me on the show, you know.
Of course. It was such an honor to have you on the show, and also to be able to like catch up with you too and to keep in contact.
Yeah. Hopefully when all this blows down, whenever it can, like we can catch up like officially, mm-hmm. you know, but until then we can definitely stay in touch. You know, y'all close and dear to my heart, you know, and I hope everything goes well with y'all, you and your loved ones.
Thank you so much. And you as well. So Marcus, do you want to plug us one last time?
Let's do it. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram @implicitlyawkward. Follow us on Twitter at ImplicitlyAuk. That's AWK, ImplicitlyAuk. And that's our show.
And that was Implicitly Awkward.